It's Wednesday, so that means Josh Ward will join us for a Ward Wednesday conversation. That's coming up here to kick things off. Plus, how did Tennessee do in terms of Pro Football Focus grades? Some really, really well. Others, a little concerning. We'll talk about it all here on a Wednesday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, good Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Vols. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols, and thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Got a fun show coming up again. Josh Ward coming up in a few minutes. Pro Football Focus grades as we continue to inch ever so closer to Neyland Stadium. Checkered Neyland, sold out Neyland, Saturday night, 7:30. On the SEC Network, and of course on the Sports Animal and WIVK live and local via the Vol Radio Network in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's again, there's been a buzz around Knoxville all week long. I know you felt it. I'm feeling it too. And we're going to continue to get you set for that matchup here today as well as Thursday and Friday moving forward. But a lot of today will be reflection as we'll look back at South Carolina and the ones that performed well. And to get things off, we'll get Josh Ward, co-host of Sports 180 on the Sports Animal, for our Ward Wednesday conversation. Here's Josh. Josh, it's a big one coming up this weekend. Tennessee, Ole Miss, Checkered Neyland, welcoming Lane Kiffin back to Knoxville. Two high-powered offenses that really are 1-2 in a lot of different statistical categories, or 1-3 in the SEC and close together in terms of national rankings. How big is this football game coming up here on Saturday night?
Yeah, this is a big one for a number of reasons. This is a game for Tennessee where you have a chance to knock off a top 15 team in the rankings. So you can just start there and talk about how big of a deal it is. But then you go into the attention that will be on the game, the amount of people that will be watching. I know about the Lane Kiffin Tennessee aspect, but just the stage of the game itself is a big opportunity for Josh Heupel in year one with what his staff has been able to do over the last couple of weeks, getting the offense going. If you can put on some kind of show, and that's probably what it will end up being in a win, well, then that'll get more attention from the fan base. That will help on the recruiting trail. It will create a lot of optimism. Heck, Tennessee's record would be 5-2, and you've really created a good opportunity. Like, I think sometimes we spend so much time talking about what can it mean down the road, what's the big picture aspect. Tennessee's 5-2. You know, how good are people feeling about what your record can be? You know, just think about the wins and losses. So there's so much to be gained. I don't know how much there is to be lost, but it's a big opportunity for Tennessee, and Neyland Stadium should be a lot of fun. The rest of this week should be a lot of fun for the fan base.
Josh, the buzz around Knoxville, I know you felt it. I've been feeling it too, you know, the first couple of days of this week. Just being around town, I mean, this feels like the biggest game in Knoxville since fill in the blank.
That's a question that I've asked as well, and I don't have a great answer. I think for games in Knoxville, my answer is probably 2016 Florida. And I say that knowing the result after the fact, but that's also a Checkered Neyland game, and Tennessee at that point is off to a good start, and it's a team with incredible expectations. At that point, the favorite to win the SEC East. We know how things played out after that, but I think that's the answer, because 2019 is a season that had a really good run to close things out, and the season itself ended with positivity, but it was kind of an odd year because of the slow start and just everything that went into it. Last season, there was optimism at the beginning of the year, but it was a different kind of season. You weren't able to get everybody into Neyland Stadium. So I think we have to go back 5 years. I think 2016, the last time that we were able to feel this kind of buzz, this kind of excitement from the fan base for a home game at Neyland Stadium.
Well, when you look at this individual matchup, I think it's set up to where, obviously, Ole Miss is one of the best offenses in the country. Matt Corral is a Heisman front runner. He and, you know, Bryce Young and a couple of others. But, you know, Ole Miss is expected to score. Tennessee, looking at that Ole Miss defense, tons of opportunity to not only keep pace, but also give Ole Miss a run for its money. The individual matchups in this football game, ones that favor Tennessee, ones that might not favor Tennessee, kind of what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, starting with what favors Tennessee, I think on the offensive side, the ability to run the football. Missouri's defense, and especially run defense, has been a problem. And I think that was exposed again this past week in the Arkansas game. That's why Lane Kiffin was so frustrated afterward, which I know we talked about on Monday. But are they going to get that all cleaned up in a week? I'm skeptical, especially with how good Tennessee's rushing offense has been, and health at the running back position might be a question going into the game, but with that position and Hendon Hooker's running ability, I think Tennessee should be able to move the ball on the ground and then find ways to make plays in the air. I think that will continue for Tennessee. For Ole Miss, they should be extremely confident in what they can do offensively. Tennessee's defense has been better than I expected, but as balanced as Ole Miss is and as good as Lane Kiffin is in figuring out ways to be effective offensively and get guys open, that conversation's happening in both Knoxville and Oxford this week. The head coach's ability, Josh Heupel and Lane Kiffin, to figure out ways to help their skill position guys. Lane's going to be able to do that against Tennessee's defense much more than South Carolina and I would say Missouri were capable of. You know, think about Pittsburgh in the middle of that first half. They were able to get things going with Kenny Pickett. Lane's probably going to figure out ways to do that with Matt Corral. I do wonder this. Can Tennessee continue to take care of the football and force mistakes? You would like that home crowd at night to be on your side and create an advantage. Right now, and maybe I'm wrong here, but if I'm trying to figure out which quarterback is more likely to make mistakes, I think it's Matt Corral against Tennessee's defense, but the Vols need to create some pressure. There are a number of things that have to go into that. So I could be wrong, but considering where the game will be played, a chance to force mistakes, I think, would go to Tennessee's defense over Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's weird. You had Hendon Hooker that turned the ball over three times, twice in the first two games he played. Hasn't turned it over since. One of those turnovers is just a really good play by the backside safety, in my opinion, against Pittsburgh. But then you have Matt Corral, who has protected the football very well this year. No interceptions. Threw 14 last year. And, man, when it rained, it poured for him. Those turnovers came in bunches. So two guys who are protecting the football really, really well right now, but obviously could be turnover prone if it came down to it. Josh, Sports 180, co-host Josh Ward here, former host of Locked On Vols, joining us every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. Brandon Turnage, SEC Player of the Week, 14 tackles, third-string star player. He was thrust into action, never played that position before at all, yet he goes in there, plays at a high level. Now it looks like Tennessee's getting healthier, expecting Theo Jackson to be back, Danico Slaughter to be back, Trayvon Flowers already came back. What are you going to do if you're Josh Heupel with a guy like Brandon Turnage who kind of has a hot hand right now?
I think it's matchup dependent. So I think what Josh Heupel, what Tim Banks, what Willie Martinez see will play a big role in who they believe should be on the field. But just take a step back. The fact that Turnage kind of was forced into duty this past Saturday and was able to play and play well, it seems. I'm sure they saw some things on film that he needs to work on, but that experience is valuable going into a game where I think they need all hands on deck in the secondary. And, you know, what if somebody goes down? That could either be this upcoming week or as the season goes along. They've had some guys that have been forced to get experience, and that could pay off in the long run.
Yeah, I think one thing's for certain. You feel good about the depth that's being created back there with a guy like Brandon Turnage, with a guy like Ollie Lane on the offensive line, because, again, those are spots that you're thin, and Tennessee's dealt with so many injuries. As the season goes on, you want to have guys that can come in and you can count on. And I as well, I think Tennessee can employ a lot of defensive backs in this football game because it's going to be high tempo, a lot of throwing, and you want to keep those guys fresh. Last thing, Josh, let's end on this, man. At this point in the season, officially midway through six games in, Tennessee's at 4-2, 2-1 in the SEC. You've got a daunting stretch ahead of you, starting with Ole Miss on Saturday. Is this Josh Heupel-led team further along than where you thought it would be, about where you thought they would be, or still has some work to do?
I think Tennessee is further along than I expected for a couple of reasons. The offense has been clicking without making a number of mistakes, despite some injury issues on the offensive line. So to have things come together as quickly as they have the last few weeks, I think is a real positive. I do think Tennessee has benefited from the competition. Missouri is not very good. It's worse than I thought. It's one of the most disappointing teams so far in the SEC through the first half of the season. And South Carolina is as bad as I expected, maybe a little worse. So that helps. But Tennessee took complete advantage. And you know, if you're not very good, then you're probably not going to be able to take complete advantage of opponents like that. Tennessee has done that. On the defensive side, considering the personnel shakeup that we've talked about a little bit at linebacker and certainly in the secondary, to manage that, I think, has been really impressive and better than I expected. They are going to be tested over the next four games. And that's why we have to be careful about getting ahead of ourselves with where Tennessee is. But the player buy-in, the leadership that is showing, and now the excitement around the program that comes from the results, Tennessee has earned that. And no matter the result on Saturday, there are plenty of reasons to be optimistic about the future. If Tennessee gets a win on Saturday, then you have reasons for the future and the present to be really excited as a Tennessee fan base. And you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, I don't know that you could ask for more right now.
A lot to continue to break down as the week goes on before Ole Miss comes to town. 7:30 kick on the SEC Network, and of course heard live locally via the Vol Radio Network on 99.1 The Sports Animal, where Josh Ward has his day job with Sports 180. Josh, what are you going to be talking about, you and Heather Harrington, for the rest of the week there on Sports 180, 12 to 3 o'clock?
Yeah, ton of Tennessee Ole Miss. We're talking about the game. We're talking about what's going on in college football. We're talking a little recruiting this week. Tom Hart, who will be on the call for ESPN on Saturday night, will be on Sports 180 Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, so look for that. But a lot of football talk. It's a lot of fun right now.
And I'm going to put you on the spot right now because that's what Jay Martin Ramon did to me, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville this morning. I mean, who's winning this football game? Tell me right now, right now.
Oh, why did you do that to me? I lean Ole Miss, but I think it's a true toss-up. And you know, my joke after the Alabama-Texas A&M game was that was the latest piece of evidence that we have no idea about anything in sports. And I think this Saturday is one of those games where we don't know. I do expect a lot of points. My joke for the last 9 months was I'm going to blindly take the over. And I'll blindly take the over 80 points. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think we see a lot of points on Saturday night, and I hope we see a great football game. And if Tennessee wins, look out. Knoxville will be on the map around the nation.
Josh Ward, the Sports Animal. Thanks, man.
You got it. Thanks, Eric.
A big thanks to Josh Ward. He's at Josh_Ward on Twitter. Ward Wednesdays, every Wednesday here on Locked On Vols. Some pro football focus rankings on the other side, but first, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers the star players of the Power Five as well as the Group of Five. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And on your first deposit, if you use the promo code Locked On, you're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's completely up to you, you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well, so you can go NBA to college football to tennis to whatever you can possibly want. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. and use that promo code Locked On, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy made easy. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, your team every single day, your first listen every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer and staffer for the VolQuest.com website covering Tennessee football and recruiting, as well as my radio work at the Sports Animal. Let's get into pro football focus grades, looking back on who did well against South Carolina and what this could mean for the game against Ole Miss this weekend. A reminder, pro football focus grades, they are not the Bible. Don't take them to the grave. It's not all or nothing, but it does tell a story. That's why I like to bring them here on this podcast each and every week. The grading scale works like this. Below 50 is considered a backup. 50 to 59 is a below average starter. 60 to 69 is an average starter. 70 to 79 is an above average starter. 80 to 89 is very good. And 90 to 99 is considered elite. We'll start out with some of the highlights on offense. And Jackson Lampley finished with the highest grade overall, but just played 6 snaps, reserve offensive lineman at right guard. He finished at 90.1, so that was good to see. But Hendon Hooker comes in, the second highest overall grade, and of course, played every snap of that football game on offense. 72 total snaps. He grades out at 86.8, and that's no surprise because Hendon Hooker continues to take care of the football. His QB rating continues to be through the roof as he's one of the nation leaders. He's tops in the SEC. He graded out at, again, an 86.8. And when you look at his passing breakdown,
He didn't throw it down the field an awful lot, but when he did, he was very successful. Over the middle, he was 2 for 2 for 70 yards and a touchdown, including that, what was it, that 39-yard strike to Javonte Payton there in the first quarter. From 10 to 20 yards, he found pretty good success. Well, not really, I guess, when you break it down. He was 1 of 3, completed 1 of 2 passes over the middle between the numbers for 15 yards. He was 0 for 1 on the outside hash from the right side. But where he found a lot of success was at or around the line of scrimmage within 10 yards. Overall, Hooker was 14 for 17 between 0 and 10 yards around the line of scrimmage, 2 of 3 from the left hash, 2 of 4, 2 touchdowns at the middle of the field, and 8 of 8 for 86 yards from the right hash out. And this is all 0 to 10 yards at or around the line of scrimmage. Hendon Hooker was very, very good when he was kept clean on 71% of the dropbacks, completing 77.3% of the passes for 3 touchdowns. Under pressure, 29% of the time, and he was 0 for 1. Not blitzed, again, kind of with the kept clean category, 8 of 14 passing for a touchdown, and when blitzed, he was 9 for 9, okay, 9 for 9 for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. So again, there's a difference whenever you're blitzed and when you're under pressure. You can blitz, but you might not be under pressure, and that's credit to the offensive line and guys getting it done in front of them. So that's why I like to break these things down. But overall, Hendon Hooker, a really, really nice game. Grades out an 86.8. Okay, he was 68.1 running the football, 87.6 throwing the football. He did a very, very nice job for Tennessee, and no surprise, he had another big game with 4 total touchdowns in the first half. We continue to work our way down. At number 3 on offense, Velus Jones Jr., a 79.2% in terms of his grade per Pro Football Focus, 45 total snaps, 77.6 in the pass, 63.1 in the run, and 61.8 in the run blocking. Of course, Velus had over 100 yards receiving in this contest and a team-high 7 targets. So Velus Jones Jr. produced well on the field. It reflects in the Pro Football Focus grade. Dane Davis comes in next at number 4, only playing 6 snaps at 76.7. Tyon Evans at number 5, 49 snaps, 74.4 for Tyon Evans. Again, pass blocking grade not where it needs to be, though he's still probably the best option there. 22.2 in terms of the pass blocking grade for Tyon Evans, though I did see him pick up a couple of blitzing linebackers, and that was really good to see. Tyon Evans, again, another big game. Finished with, 119 yards rushing. Had that long 45 for a touchdown. They love that trap right up the middle. Whenever you block down on the right side, have Ollie Lane, the left guard, pull and kick out on the right side and have Tyon Evans go right up the middle. Lenith Whitehead comes in at number 6, 18 total snaps, 72.9% for the reserve running back. Darnell Wright, the highest graded offensive lineman and the only offensive lineman that graded above an above-average starter in terms of his final grade, 72.5 for Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright played 66 snaps, had 31 pass blocking reps, 35 run blocking reps. He was good against the run at 73.2. He was okay against the pass, 59.6 in terms of his pass blocking grade. Javonte Spraggins, that's good to see, came in next at right guard. 66 total snaps, 71.7 for Javonte Spraggins, and I guess that's considered above-average starter as well. I probably spoke too soon earlier. Javonte Spraggins, really good in the run game, 72.9, 59.9 in the pass game. We'll skip down to some more starters here. Cade Mays came in 11th overall on offense for Tennessee, a 64.8 overall grade. Pass blocking grade for Cade Mays in this football game, not great, 23.7. So that's not great. He had 31 pass blocking reps, grading out at 23.7 for Cade Mays in that one. So we will move on. Cedric Tillman, 13th overall in offense, 65 total reps, 63.8. Again, he continues to be a steady Eddie on the outside, second highest in terms of receiving yards in that football game. Jacob Warren, 38 total snaps coming in at 14th overall on the offensive side, 62.1. He was really good in pass blocking this week, 72.4. Solid in run blocking, 77.2. But in terms of his route tree, 52.6, that's where Jacob Warren's grade kind of goes down a little bit. Javonte Payton, 66 total snaps, 61.5 overall, continues to be that deep threat, getting a look early in that football game and then kind of going quiet in the receiving end, but he's still out there. Ollie Lane at left guard, 66 total snaps, 17th overall in offense, 60.6 is his grade, 41.7 pass blocking grade. That is not good, 62.3 in terms of the run blocking. And then we'll skip down to the final starter, that offensive line. You have Jerome Carvin, who comes in at 21 overall on the offensive end, 58.7 is his Pro Football Focus overall grade, 48.8 pass blocking grade, 43.3 run blocking grade. But overall, Tennessee put up a lot of points in the first half. They saw a lot of skill players and the quarterback leading the way up at the top of these rankings. Hendon Hooker, 86.8 grade. Valus Jones, 79.2 grade. Tyon Evans, 74.4 grade. And you got some offensive linemen coming in at 7-8 with Darnell Wright, 72.5, and Javontis Bragan, 71.7. Tennessee will need to continue to keep this up as you go up against a defense that's ranked 12th in the SEC in total D, 12th in the SEC in scoring defense, a defense that hasn't figured it out whatsoever, giving up 31 points per outing, though it is improved from its 2020 showcase. But nonetheless, opportunity for the Volunteers. And if you continue to jump out of the gates like you did against South Carolina, then points should become a plenty on Saturday night. But sustainability, especially in the third quarter, is going to be key for this Tennessee offense. We'll take a look at the defensive Pro Football Focus grades when we return here on Locked On Vols. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone, and if you don't know what your favorite flavor is, no problem. Order a mix box, and you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors sent to you so you can try them out for yourself. This week, limited time flavor is the cookie dough chunk. You need to try it today. Most of these Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, because they're all amazing flavors, 9 of them, all tasty, all healthy, covered in 100% chocolate, but it's a protein bar. No, it's not a candy bar. Try it out today. You go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We got a final segment left here of a Wednesday Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Locked On Vols, your first listen. It's a podcast available Monday through Friday, free and on all platforms. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me here today. So we talked Pro Football Focus grades on the offensive end in segment two. Now let's look to defense. And it is going to be a challenge this week with Matt Corral, a Heisman front runner. That offense, which is one of the nation's most prolific offenses in the entire country, second nationally in terms of points per game. You've got the number one in terms of plays per minute, just ahead of Tennessee with 2.89 plays per minute. You've got 3 veteran tailbacks, an all-SEC running back that missed last week's game but hopes to be back if you're an Ole Miss fan here this week. A lot of options, a veteran offensive line. It is going to be a challenge for Tennessee. But in terms of the Pro Football Focus grades, very positive against South Carolina. I mean, you went up 35-0 in the second quarter. Obviously, there's going to be a lot to like, even with that third quarter lull, even with South Carolina kind of coming back, making it an 18-point game at one point or another. Tennessee's defense continued to finish strong. It only gave up 13 points overall, though the punt safe unit was out there on that fake punt for a touchdown with Warren Burrell having the big mishap there. Jalen McCullough missed tackle and able to squeak by there. But technically, that goes on a special teams unit. But the grade's very positive, and that's going to be a good thing because they're going to need to be up there. Tennessee's going to have to rely on a lot of players, a lot of guys in the secondary, in my opinion, a lot of guys up front to pressure the quarterback, keep Matt Corral contained, and put forth a solid effort to try to make enough stops to win this football game on Saturday. Leading the way at the top, tied with a 78.8 grade, is edge player Byron Young and cornerback Alante Taylor. Alante Taylor could have had a couple picks in this football game, but he finished with 3 tackles and 3 pass breakups, while Byron Young had a total of 3 tackles, pro football focus, with a sack and a couple of pressures. Byron Young, he's been close the last couple of weeks. He's disrupting the line of scrimmage. They love to use Byron Young and Roman Harrison or Tyler Barron on that twist play on third down, when the defensive tackles will shoot out, and then you'll wrap those defensive ends back around. It's almost like a delayed blitz. Byron Young made a difference on Saturday. He was 78.8 overall. He was 74.9 against the run, 75.7 in tackling. He was in coverage for two snaps where he graded out at 60.1. That's not really his game, but a good game for Byron Young and Alante Taylor, leading it at both ends for that Tennessee defense. You had, overall, you had, let's see, in the above-average category, you had one, two, three players, including Trayvon Flowers, who I'll touch on here in just a moment, that scored in the above-average starter grade. For the average starter grade, you had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, can't count, nine players score in the average starter grade. So you had 11 total players that scored for Tennessee's defense in terms of Pro Football Focus as either an average starter or an above-average starter, a good start for this Tennessee defense. Let's get to Trayvon Flowers. Missed the Missouri game, came back a 75.6 overall grade for Tennessee's starting free safety on 76 total plays on the defensive side of the football. This is huge because Trayvon Flowers and Jalen McCullough, though McCullough's gotten a lot of picks, not really been super sharp, super clean halfway through the season. Not a lot of playmaking ability. Their grades in terms of Pro Football Focus have been not impressive, but this one was. Flowers, the third highest grade on defense for Tennessee against South Carolina, 76 snaps, 75.6 in overall grade. He was really good in tackling at 84.7. He was solid in run defense at 76.1. His coverage was 70.7, which has been improved. And his pass rush, though he only had a couple of pressures, two to be in fact, 71.1. Trayvon Flowers, that's a good sign. Flowers will need to play well along with McCullough against Matt Corral because the middle of the field, Corral will target, and Tennessee has been susceptible in the middle of the field at the safety positions at times this year. Brandon Turnage, the SEC Defensive Player of the Week, had the fourth highest grade on Tennessee's defense, 76 total snaps, 68.1, okay? He was really good in tackling, 85.8. He was solid in coverage at 73.6. He had two pressure snaps at 56.3 and his run defense at 54.3. But what Brandon Turnage did was he didn't know what he was doing a lot of the time, but he went full speed and overcompensated it with smarts and athleticism. He's got a long way to go in terms of run fits, but man, he was lightning in a bottle on Saturday, and now a guy I think the coaching staff can trust to put in there and play some quality snaps. He played, as I told someone at VolQuest this morning, you know, that they say, hey, that's the third or fourth time you've mentioned that Brandon Turnage took bad run fits. Yeah, he did. He did. But he overcame it and had a hell of a game. It was a great start for Brandon Turnage. And again, 14 stops. That's why he was deemed the SEC Player of the Week. Amari Thomas got the start at defensive tackle, 29 overall snaps, 67.8 was his grade. Deshaun Terry came in sixth, 32 snaps for the big man, 66 overall grade. Solon Page III led the linebacking unit, 40 total snaps, 65.5 for Solon Page. His tackling was 81.1. That's a season high for Solon Page, so that is good to see. Aaron Beasley checked in next. He had a grade of 65.5, 82.5 in pressure snaps, though it was only with three. He was 57.8 in run defense, 61.5 in coverage, and 67.7 was Aaron Beasley in his tackling on the day. Matthew Butler chimed in, 48 total snaps, 62.8 overall for Tennessee's interior defensive lineman, 72.8. A high point for Matthew Butler in the tackling. Bayless Jones, 62.4, comes in. He had one, I guess it was on punt return or something. I don't know what it was, but in terms of, oh, it might have been punt save or something. He's showing up on the defense here. I just continue to read along this sheet and just notice that's a wide receiver on here, but we will move on. Jalen McCullough comes in. Not the best day overall. Well, overall it was solid. 62.2 is the grade for Jalen McCullough, so that's not bad. But his tackling, 29.6. Jalen McCullough has struggled to tackle this year. He struggled in coverage, though coverage was an uptick at 67.6 on the day, so that was solid. But Jalen McCullough's tackling an issue. That can't be an issue on Saturday. McCullough comes in the 11th highest grade per Pro Football Focus for Tennessee against South Carolina at 62.2. Tyler Barron, only 22 snaps. You can tell he's not 100%. Comes in at a 60.8. And now the players that finish below an average starter, You have Roman Harrison, who's 41, thought he played his best game against Missouri. He was not horrible against South Carolina, but 41 snaps, and he had a 57.2 grade, tackling 28.4. So that's not great from Roman Harrison. On pressure snaps, he had 21, and his grade was a 57.7. So that's a solid grade there. Warren Burrell comes in, 55.8. Not the best game for Warren Burrell, who I believe has been solid all year long. 80.7 in tackling, that was a high point for him. A low point looked to be in coverage at 52.4. Karat Garland, who actually got the start of defensive tackle along with Amari Thomas, 29 total snaps. He grades out at 54.8, and that's good to see. Rodney Garner said at the beginning of the year, like, hey, I'm going to play a lot of guys. Back when Auburn won the national championship, I think we had 10 or 11 different defensive line combinations of starters. Amari Thomas has started the last two games. Karat Garland was a new starter here against South Carolina. We'll have to see, but it doesn't matter. I mean, Matthew Butler didn't start, but he played, 48 snaps. So, but it was good to see some new bodies out there. Caleb Tremblay, 31 snaps. He comes in at 16th, 51.7 his grade. Jaquan Blakely, who I thought might have played his best game at Tennessee, I thought he was everywhere. Not according to Pro Football Focus. Again, this is why you don't want to take everything. You got to take everything with a grain of salt, because if you listen to my podcast on Monday, I thought Jaquan Blakely played very well. Pro Football Focus has him grading out as the second lowest Tennessee defender at 50 overall in the grade. Again, 50 is a below average starter right at the bottom. 66.6 in run defense, 76.2 in tackling, 54.8 in pressure, 57.9 in coverage, though that's not really relevant for a defensive tackle. It says here that he had zero reps in coverage, yet they give him out a grade here, so I don't know how that works. But nonetheless, Jaquan Blakely, I'm still going to say he played a good game. He was everywhere on film, everywhere, but comes in near the bottom. Pro Football Focus has him there. And then finally, at the cellar is Jeremy Banks. I didn't think Banks played his best game. I didn't think he was horrible. I certainly didn't think he played his best game, but man, Pro Football Focus has him grading out an overall grade of 40.8, 37.3 in tackling, 44.4 in coverage, 54.3 in run defense, 56.3 in pressure. He played 49 snaps. He had the costly penalty, though I thought was a tweener. I do see why they called the penalty, but I did think it was a tweener. Jeremy Banks has got to be a little bit more sharp and a little bit more under control, because Ole Miss will throw a lot of underneath, and they're going to try to nitpick. They're going to try to find Jalen McCullough. They're going to try to find Jeremy Banks and target those guys in the short to intermediate passing game. But overall, job well done for Tennessee's defense. These grades, probably the best collectively all season long, and it starts at the top with Byron Young and Alante Taylor. Those were the Pro Football Focus grades for offense and defense. Some pretty solid grades, right? Well, when you go up 35-0 in the second quarter, 38-7 at halftime or whatever it was, and you'll win the game 45-20, those grades are going to be reflective of your effort on the field. For the most part, very positive. Now, Tennessee will need that effort against Ole Miss. Again, we'll continue to break down Ole Miss as the week goes on. Ole Miss, one of the best offenses in the country. Defensively, not so much. Opportunity there to run the football for Tennessee's defense, for Tennessee's offense. Defensively, got to keep everything bottled up in front of you, and you got to stop the run, because Ole Miss loves to run the football just like Tennessee. We'll have more conversations on a Thursday Locked On Vols, on a Friday Locked On Vols, and we'll get you set for the big showdown, 7:30 Saturday night at a sold-out Neyland Stadium. It's Shecker-Neyland, should be a ruckus environment. First sellout since Georgia 2017. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. I encourage you to make Locked On SEC your second listen here today with host Chris Gordy of Sports 790. That's going to do it here for a Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. Guys, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.